You're listening to the Liberty Grace Church Sermon Podcast. For more information, visit libertygrace.ca.
Well, good afternoon. Good to have you with us. And it is amazing to have the door open and it be warm. It's just amazing. So, and really glad to be with you today. We are in a very short series on the church. And it feels a little bit weird talking about the church because churches is something that we do. We don't often stop and talk about it. And as the email went out this week, I realized that I'm not really hooking you. I'm actually, usually you try to say, hey, you really need to come out this week because you've got this need in your life and the Word of God has something to say to that need. So come out and hear it. And I realized actually this week what I said was, we're going to talk about church membership. Come out and hear all about it. Where's the hook? Everyone's like, I have no desire in my life for that. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And I'm really glad you're here because there was no hook to draw you here. And yet, sometimes the things where it doesn't appear that it's going to help us that much are absolutely essential for us. And this is one of those things where it does look like, man, why would we even talk about this? But it is absolutely critical for each of us. I really believe what Sam Albury says. He says this, the church is the earthly outlet for God's truth. I want you to think about that for a minute. How does God give his truth to the world? Well, Sam Albury says the church. And you might be saying, he goes on to say, we're the embassy that represents him. You might have seen in this past week that Trudeau went to Ukraine and reopened the embassy there. And it was almost like saying, okay, Canada is back in Ukraine. We are here because we believe in the government here. We want this. And it was really a statement for him to go over and say, we're opening up an embassy because Canada wants representation here. We want to send a message that we are here. We believe in this. And what Sam Albury is saying is God has set up an embassy in the world, and he's called it the church. God has basically said, okay, he sent Jesus, and Jesus is like, okay, I'm going to set up an embassy here, and it's going to be how basically I'm represented here on earth. My presence here is going to be through this embassy. When you step into an embassy, you're on the country's soil. So if you go to Ottawa and you go into, I don't know, pick a country, Ukrainian embassy, you're stepping onto Ukrainian soil at that point. And so Sam Albury says, that's what the church is. Christians are this individually too, of course, but it's through the church being the church, rather than primarily through individual believers, each doing their bit, that the truth is upheld and commended to the watching world. The church really matters. We are not just a group of individuals. We are part of the church. And God wants to do his work in Liberty Village, in your community, not through us individually, but as we lock arms together and as we're the church together. And today I want to talk about something strange. I remember talking to a lady and I said, are you a member of the church? And this was when I was pastoring a church, we actually had, unlike in Liberty Grace, we actually had a membership that was fairly significant. It was at least a good chunk. We would have members meetings and all that kind of thing. And I said, are you a member of the church? And she said, I just don't believe in joining a club. I just have no interest in being part of, like, I'm now part of the secret, you know, like, is there a secret handshake? And now we do all these things and she's like, I just don't buy that. I want to love the Lord. I want to come to the church, but I don't want any of that membership stuff. And I think that's a fairly common view today. There's a lot of people who say, I love Jesus. The church I tolerate, and I just am not interested in making any more of a commitment to the church than that. I would rather leave my options open. I would rather go from church to church. And if this church is offering something one day, that's where I'll be. But, you know, I just don't want to be tied down. It just seems like, why would I do that? And we live in a very consumeristic culture in which we want to have all the freedom and no commitment. And we see this in a lot of things, right? If I were to say, do you want to participate in this? And by the way, there's like a 5-year commitment. You go, no way. Like, I want to enjoy it, but commitment, I just don't want that. I don't want to be tied down. And so what we're going to talk about today is really unusual. And yet, we have to ask the question, is it biblical? What does it mean, I guess, and is it biblical? And today's going to probably be a little bit of an odd message because, as you're going to see, there's a reason for this. I'm not just opening one passage of Scripture and saying, look, here's membership in the Bible. But what I want to do is look more topically and see. My argument is going to be twofold. First, that membership is assumed all throughout the New Testament. And it's almost like a fish, you know, you've heard this before, a fish swimming through water, and the fish saying, okay, show me the water, right? And you're like, well, look all around you, and the fish is like, I don't see it. Like, there's nothing here, right? And like, that's because it's everywhere. It's like the Trinity, where it's never mentioned, the word Trinity is mentioned by name, but it's everywhere in Scripture. The same applies to membership. It just assumes. That's the first thing I want to show you. But then I want to bring it home, and this is a very personal message, because then I want to make an ask. And I want to challenge you to consider membership. If this is your home church, I want a response today. I don't want like, oh, that was good. Let's move on. Let's think of a question. My challenge is going to be that we actually take this seriously and take this step. So first, where is membership in the Bible? Where is membership in the New Testament? And here is my main argument. And again, I try to say this as often as possible. The minute I give you my opinion, it's just my opinion. The question has to be, where is it in Scripture? If it's in Scripture, we need to take it seriously. If it's just my opinion, chuck it. I mean, do whatever you want with it. Take it, leave it, whatever. But if it's in Scripture, we have to take it seriously. And as I've said, I believe that it's all over. And I'm just going to give you four arguments. There's many more, but I'm going to give you four arguments for where membership is in the New Testament. And just to be completely above board, I actually occasionally get messages from people saying, hey, somebody stole your sermon. Like, my pastor preached the sermon, and I Googled it, and I discovered that it was your sermon. Are you okay with this? And I always point them to the part where it's like, not really, like in an emergency maybe. But if somebody's going to steal a sermon of mine, I at least want them to stand up and say, hey, I stole this sermon from Daryl because I had a busy week. I had 10 funerals, you know, so I just want everyone to know I'm borrowing a sermon this week. Next week, I'll prepare my own. This is one of those weeks where I'm actually ethically borrowing four major, I think I modified these from two preachers, from John Piper and from Capitol Hill Baptist Church. So these points aren't original with me, but I think that they're good and biblical. So here's the first argument that I want to make. Churches are called to discipline their members. Now, that sounds scary, but let me read the passage. Matthew 18:15-17. And this is Jesus talking, which is interesting because a lot of people say Jesus didn't really have much to say about the church. Well, actually, I would say Jesus spent 3 years actually laying the groundwork for the church. Everything Jesus did was with an eye to the church, including his death was actually to purchase a bride for himself, which is the church. So I would actually argue Jesus was actually all about the church. But Matthew 18, he mentions the church directly, and he says this, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault, between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you've gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Now, here's what Jesus is saying. When somebody sins against you, take steps to bring them back into repentance. But if they don't respond, take it to the church. And there's a lot we could say about this. This is actually really important. It's a guideline to what happens when we tick each other off. You know, take it slowly, preserve the other person's dignity, go to them quietly, don't escalate, don't press the nuclear button on conflict all the time. But as the final step, Jesus teaches that we're to take it to the church and get the help from the church. Jesus just assumes that there's going to be a group of defined people called the church that we can go to when needed. Paul makes this even clearer in 1 Corinthians. And this should be a little bit familiar if you've been around here. This is probably going back last year. But in 1 Corinthians 5, when Paul speaks of somebody in unrepentant sin, blatant unrepentant sin, Paul writes, "Let him who has done this be removed from among you." And so I want to picture this. One of us actually has joined the church and said, "Yes, this is my church." But then we're caught in blatant, we're not talking about, you know, I saw you, like, you just had too many cookies at the back tonight. Like, that was bad. I think you're guilty of the sin of cookie gluttony. You know, we're talking about serious sin. We're talking about something that brings, like, it's just everybody knows is wrong. And we're talking about unrepentant sin. And so we're talking about stuff like, man, if I was unfaithful to my wife, it should come to the church. That is a serious, especially if I was unrepentant. That should come to the church. And it should be a matter of concern for all of us. And if I was like, don't tell me what to do. It's my life. I can do whatever I want. Paul says in this case, I should be removed from the church. There should be a formal recognition that Daryl is no longer acting like a believer. He should not be able to say that he is good with the church. There should be a formal sense of like, Daryl, this is an issue. We want you to repent. And right now you're not acting like a Christ follower. We need to remove you from the church. And later on he says in verse 12 and 13, for what have I have to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? God judges those on the outside, but he says, purge the evil person from among you. What he's basically arguing is there's an inside and outside the church. Outside, you're not surprised when people engage in blatant, unrepentant sin. But in the church, we care for each other. And we watch over each other. And we take it seriously when one of us begins to go astray. And again, John Piper says, there's two implications here. One is there's an in the church group and an outside the church group. Being in the church is definable. You know who's inside the church. The other implication is that somebody can be removed from being in the church. Such a formal removal would not be possible if there was no such thing as a clear membership. Who is an accountable part of this body and who is not? Both Paul and Jesus assume that there's a clearly defined church and that people can be added to the church and removed from the church. They assume that there's a clear distinction between those inside and outside. And so we're called to discipline church members. By the way, if you think this is scary, you're right. It is scary. And it's needed. I don't know about you. I used to have this discussion with my daughter all the time. When she was a teenager, she did the thing that all teenagers do. And she said, Dad, don't you trust me? Don't you trust me? And you know what my answer was all the time? Heck no. Of course I don't trust you. I don't trust myself. Like, I know myself. Do I trust you? No. Do I trust me? No. I need you to watch over me. I need you to care for me. I need you to see when I'm going offside and for you to come to me and say, Daryl, I saw that. I just need that, and so do you. So this is one argument that church discipline requires that we need each other, that we watch over each other, that we hold each other accountable, and it's a clearly defined group. So here's the second argument, and I'm going to include this in it. It's going to sound like I'm talking about you, but I'm including me in this. Christians are required to submit to their leaders. Number two, Christians are required to submit to their leaders. Hebrews 13:17, again, it's in the Bible. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls, as for those who will give an account. And it goes on, 1 Thessalonians 5:12 to 13, Paul says, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and who are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. The assumption here is that every Christian has a defined set of leaders that you must submit to. So, friends, if you belong to a church, there's, say, Liberty Grace Church, we have the privilege of having an eldership here at the church that I'm submitted to. I answer to the elders. I am not like, just doing whatever I want to do here. There's elders, and this Tuesday we meet, and part of what has to happen is that I need to submit to them. I need to go to them for wisdom. They need to ask me penetrating questions. They need to make sure that I'm on track. And Paul's argument and the argument of Hebrews is every Christian needs this. Now, if you're not part of a church, you can't say that there's a group of leaders that you're submitting to, an eldership that you're submitting to. You're just a free agent. And it's like, well, who's watching over you? Nobody, God, I guess. But Hebrews and 1 Thessalonians says, no, there needs to be a group of leaders that you are saying, yes, I am. By the way, you need to find elders that exercise that with love, that exercise that sort of care with a devotion to God and his word and a care for you, who really are, you need servant leaders who are willing to lay down their lives to serve you, that are motivated by love for you. That's what all of us need. And so Paul says, there just needs to be this membership is a way of committing to a particular group of leaders to come under their authority to make clear commitments for who's caring for your soul. I am horrified. The person next to me in our condo, there's a unit, a little tiny unit, and we would see him once in a while. And for a while we didn't see him, and then one day the ambulance showed up, and he had died, and nobody knew it. He was there for days, and nobody knew it. And I thought, well, it's horrible that somebody could just be completely alone like that, with nobody to care for them, to understand if they were going missing. And what Paul is saying here is, we all need that. We need somebody that they notice if you're, how are you doing? They notice if you're not doing well. They notice if you're AWOL. We all need that. How tragic it is for one of us to be going off and nobody to be saying, hey, I care for you. And so that's number two. Christians are required to submit to leaders. Three, and this is the other side, shepherds are called to care for their flock. Pastors and elders are given the responsibility to care for a particular group of people. And so I've already said this, Hebrews 13, 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. So those of you who are members here, one day and the elders are with this. One day, I went through customs this week. I've used this illustration before. You know, you go through customs, you line up there, and I always find it a little bit terrifying, right? You hope that you get I was looking at the guy thinking, I hope I get the friendly, the good one. You can never tell either, right? You get up there, they look good, and then you get up there and it's like, oh, I figures, I got the nasty one today. One day though, and when we're standing before God in judgment, the elders, including me, will have to give account for your souls. Those of you who are members of this church, we are called to care for you. And there's a responsibility that we have for you. Acts 20, verse 28 says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Picture a shepherd with a flock. And then it's like, you know, what about that one? Well, that's not my sheep. That belongs to that shepherd over there. But that's my sheep. If a wolf comes, I'm going to care for this sheep. 1 Peter 5 says this, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering, but being examples to the flock. And Paul and Hebrews and Peter all say the same thing. There should be a defined group that pastors are supposed to care for. In fact, it goes beyond that. Not only are the elders supposed to care for a defined group of people, but they have to answer to God for how they do this. There's a particular group of people in the charge of pastors. There's a particular group of people that I'm supposed to care for and our elders are supposed to care for. One more, I could go on and on. There's a lot more. I'm just skimming the surface here. But one more is this. The discipline, the submission, the pastoral oversight, and finally, the whole image of the body, that the Bible compares us to a body. And we looked again at this in 1 Corinthians 12. Just as the body is one, and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many are one body, so it is with the Christ, with Christ. For in Christ, in one spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. The argument here is you are a member of the body. Okay, some of you are noses, some of you are hands, some of you are eyeballs, some of you are ears, some of you are whatever it is. But you understand this. Nobody, like if you had a floating ear, like it just doesn't, you know, the ear has to be part of the body. You've got to be connected. You've got to be part of the body. There's a sense in which we dysfunction. We're not meant to function individually. We're meant to function together. We're supposed to belong. We're interconnected, not just in a loose way, but in a way that identifies as part of the congregation. Jonathan Lehman writes this. When you open your Bible, stop looking for signs of a club with voluntary members. Look instead for the Lord and his bound together people. Look also for other forms of unity, brothers and sisters, branches on a vine, and so on. It's church membership in the Bible, he says. If you're looking for the right thing, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. Now, this is so, like, I feel like I'm teaching. I don't feel like I'm preaching. I feel like I'm delivering a lecture here. But I want to switch that right now and say, like, I have been doing a content dump on you. But I hope as I've been doing this content dump on you, you see how important this is, how you need this. This is beneficial for all of us. Liberty Village needs this. Liberty Village needs a group of people who are bound together and are saying, we are committed to the mission that God has given us here as a church in this community. It is assumed everywhere, but it is important for us. And let me just give you two reasons why it's so important for all of us. It is dangerous for you not to be a member of a church. It is dangerous for you. You are meant to commit. You are meant to be part of a family. You are meant to be a particular group, a part of a particular group of people, and to serve them and to be served by them. You are meant to practice the one another commands of Scripture. You are meant to be loved and to love, to be served and to serve as part of your people. I have a friend who's part of a family just did foster kids. And I think I have so much admiration for them because they would get these foster kids in and they would love them. But after a year or two, the kids would be moved usually to another foster home. And there was always like part of them that left. Well, then they had their own kids. And what they began to notice is what the foster kids wanted desperately was what their own kids had automatically. You see, the foster kids were always like, this is home, but it's not home, right? Like, I'm part of the family, but I'm not part of the family. And when the kids were born, it was like, you belong here. You are part of the family. You have, like, we will do anything for you. Like, everything we have is yours. Friends, what you need is not to be a foster Christian. You need to be a Christian who's part of a home. And we're all about Jesus here. We believe that Jesus came to save us, to deal with our sins, to cleanse us, to make us his. And part of what he does, though, as he cleanses us, as he makes us his own, as he makes us part of his family, he doesn't just save us as individuals and say good luck. He puts us together as part of a family where you're needed and where you need to serve. It's how he designed it. It's dangerous if we're not part of a local church, a group of people that we've committed to and who are committed to us. The other week I went to Muskoka Woods. I don't know if anybody's ever been there before. They've got this climbing tower. They said, we've got this rope course. It's going to be good. And I looked at it. I just saw like zip lines and rope. Like I just thought it was going to be fun. And then we got there and they said, well, we only have one staff person, so you just get to do one thing. So I was okay, like false advertising, but whatever. So anyway, they hooked me up to this, the harness. And then they clip on this clip. And then you're climbing. I took the easiest one. You climb up there, and eventually you get to a platform, and you're like, I made it. And you're looking like, no, I don't have to go higher. I think this is, you know, like, I'm up there high. And then she's like, okay, so what you need to do is you just need to jump off and, like, lean back and let go. And I'm like, no, there's not a chance. Like, And so I'm watching the other guy. She's like, no, the pulley system's got you. Like, and so the other guy was terrified too, and he jumps off, and sure enough, he's fine. You swing out, and you know, your feet hit the thing, then you jump out again. But I was there, like, thinking, do I trust this pulley system, right? Do I just release? Like, if this doesn't work, I'm gonna die. But do I just believe that I'm tethered and that I'm safe? Well, I'm here. You don't have to wonder how it all turned out. I lived. Spoiler. And I'm here because of that. We need the tether of a church. We need to be able to say, by my own, I'm not going to make it. But at some point, we've just got to lean back and trust that we're tethered to the church, we're tethered to God's people, that they've got us, and trust that we'll be safe. But friends, I also want to tell you, the church needs you. Other believers need you to commit to being part of the church here. I am beyond grateful for our little church. I look out, and every week I just feel incredibly grateful that I get to be part of this church. We are humble, we're small, and I'm so grateful for it despite being small. We need you. We believe that Jesus has given us a job to do as a church. And I have a role to play, but we all have a role to play. We happen to be a congregational church, and we've written right into our, basically how we're organized, that eventually we want to kick those external three elders out, and we want to appoint our own internal elders and say, like, your job is done, thank you. I think we're ready now to have our own elders. And it's set up basically when we get to 25 members that we'll have these regular meetings. The elders were wise. They said, we're going to put a number on there because we don't want it to be like when you've got six people, that we've got basically got six people, because then anybody can join the church and take over in it. So like when we get to 25, then we'll regularly call members meetings. And it won't be like, let's have a vote on what brand of toilet paper to use, or let's have, no, it'll be like actually important stuff. Setting the direction of the church, welcoming new members, caring for each other, all that kind of thing. We're set up as a congregational church, but we need a congregation to do that. Jonathan Lehman says, every member of a church should recognize it's my responsibility to protect the gospel. It's my responsibility to receive and dismiss members. Jesus has given it to me. To use the business lingo again, we're all owners. We all have a share in the losses and the profits. We are 8.5 years old. Over the years, we've talked about membership a few times. But our membership has never been what I want it to be. And I want this to change. I've been praying for 25 members for a long time now. I want a group of people who say, this is my church. I am committed to serving here. I am accountable. I want to hold Daryl accountable in a healthy way. I need to be tethered here. I want this to be my church. I want to help her thrive. I want this church to help me grow. And so today I'm giving you an invitation. If you're a follower of Jesus, the next step, as we looked at last week, is to be baptized as a believer. Once you're baptized as a believer, your next step is to join the church and to say, this is where I belong. This is where I'll get to work. A pastor in Utah writes this: no athlete joins a team hoping to sit on the sidelines every practice and game. Church membership is a far more important thing than participating in team sports. But sadly, individualism, consumerism, easy believism, and unbiblical church polities have left many church members sitting on the bench. Are you a church member? Don't settle for the bench. Jesus calls us to get up and get to work. On your way out, you'll be getting a book. God is so good. I've ordered this last year sometime, and it came to an address in the States, and I was just waiting to pick it up. And it just arrived today from the States. I wasn't planning on it, and long story, but it's here. And so we have a free copy for everyone. It's called Rediscovering Church. I want you to take this, but let me just close with this. It's on page 84 of this book. Friend, by joining the church, this is what he says to people as he asks them to join. Friends, by joining the church, You will become jointly responsible for whether or not this congregation continues to faithfully proclaim the gospel. That means you will be jointly responsible for what the church teaches and for whether or not its members' lives remain faithful. And one day you will stand before God and give an account for how you fulfilled this responsibility. We need more hands for the harvest, so we hope you'll join this work. Lord, build your church here. We long for just your plan for Liberty Grace Church as it unfolds. Lord, we long for a small, growing, godly group of people to be on mission. Father, we long for an active membership where we're all invested, where we are committed to each other. We long to be tethered. And so build your church here. I pray that we would see baptisms. I pray that we would see our membership grow. Lord, I long for the day when we have our own elders. But Lord, the first step before we get elders is even having a strong membership. And so grow your church here. I pray that people here listening right now would think about this and that they would come and say that they're ready to join. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.